God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.
Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, the host of Wise Women, a wonderful show that Gary Null chose to create so that we could disseminate some wonderful wisdom by the suggested guests that Gary and Richard Gale had given me. And we're very fortunate today to have one of those guests that they suggested, a wonderful privilege and rather unusual compared to some of our other guests. Her name is Anita de France, and she was an Olympic winner. And that, most of my guests were not the athletes, but of course, Gary Null has won countless awards with his races, marathon races. And Anita, in 1986, became part of the International Olympic Committee, appointed her to the membership organization. She became the first chair of the prototype of the IOC Women's Sport Commission in 1992, and the first female vice president of the IOC Executive Committee in 1997, serving until 2001. So that was quite an accomplishment and a feather in her cap, and so welcomed into those positions because, you know, she has a wonderful history that we're going to explore today. So she was an Olympic winner in the rowing division. So welcome to our show, Anita. Is it all right if I call you Anita?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Well, you were suggested by Gary Null and Richard Gale, so I'm so happy that we managed to find a schedule to fit you in. So you have an illustrious kind of background and carry some firsts in many categories. So tell us a little bit about your early experiences in the Olympics, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I call the Olympics a celebration of human excellence because that's what it is. And I'll tell you, living in the Olympic Village was just phenomenal. There were people of all sizes, shapes, colors, both sexes, and we were all living together. We could sit at any table, and they did have food 24 hours, which is something that rowers appreciate. It was just, well, I came from the Games realizing it is possible for the world to live at peace, because we have all these folks who had the same goal to win that gold medal, knowing full well there weren't enough to go around, and yet we were in this peaceful, peaceful village. So it just changed my view of the world.
Oh, bless your heart. And that is so needed in these turbulent times that we find ourselves in. It's just, you know, those of us that are older and remember a world that's very different from the world today. And Gary obviously wants as much as possible for those of us on this show to be able to share as much wisdom for the younger generations that simply have no reference points that we do. Yeah. And so, you know, that for sure is something. Now, you were also the first Black woman. Was it in what capacity? Was it in rowing, or I wasn't quite sure. Remind me of that.
Probably, but let me say one thing here. Some wisdom my mother, the original Anita de France, gave to me. And that is, we are one race, the human race.
Agree.
We are all the same, yet everyone is unique. Even identical twins are not identical. So this talk about race is what holds us down. If you want to describe someone with light skin, dark skin, whatever, that's what we should be doing, not saying it's a different race. That makes it possible to say that that other race is something different, and you don't have to be nice to them. So my small but enormous goal is to get people to get rid of the word race, unless you're talking about competition, because it's ridiculous. How can you say that someone, a human, is of a different race? It's ridiculous.
I completely agree with you. We could spend the entire hour in that regard, because there's just no logic to it. It has plagued me my whole life. I come, Anita, from a very small town, 1,006 people in Hurley, Wisconsin, a very tiny town in the North Woods of Wisconsin. And of course, I grew up, there were only Italians and Finns, and they're all white, you know? And so we had someone that worked for my dad, because we had a rather interesting and illustrious history back then, because my grandfather was, I don't know if I dare say this, the biggest bootlegger in the North Woods. And supplied Al Capone and his brother Ralph Bottles Capone with, the booze that went into Chicago. But in addition to that, Hurley was a little wide open town, and we had a lot of entertainers that came in to entertain in the clubs there that Grandpa owned half of the town back there, right? And so there were some Black people that came to entertain. And I was just delighted and fascinated. I just spent as much time as I could, because, you know, there were no other races whatsoever. So we had no prejudice whatsoever, because we were not trained in any other way except to welcome anyone and everyone. And, you know, I was engaged to a wonderful, one of the best harmonica players, unfortunately not with us anymore. He played with B.B. King, extremely talented. And then, of course, Berry Gordy's son, Kennedy Gordy, was also a friend and boyfriend years ago. And, you know, I mean, why can't we just celebrate, if there are any attributes that each race might have, let us celebrate those.
One race, there's only one race. We have attributes of people who are different, who are, you know, the Italians have their own cultures, the Ghanaians have their own cultures,
we cook.
The New Zealanders, all of that, but we are one race, the human race, and we need to accept that as the truth. We can talk about the bad things like discrimination, because people are discriminating against a group of humans who have this skin color. Let's be specific about what we're talking about.
It is absurd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is absurd. And it requires those of us who are critical thinkers to transcend the prejudicial conversations that imprinted, I mean, for my whole life, for some odd reason, even as a child, I was fascinated with the, you know, understanding what is this human consciousness? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's what goes into it and what you take in as the truth. And that's where Gary, he brings so much truth in his daily podcasts, bringing experts to the fore that you know, explain the facts of something. And I mean, if it's about logic to me. And so when you say we are just one race, it is true. Now, I mean, a lot of people feel the aliens are here.
And, well, that's,
you know, yes, then, well, we might have a little difference there. But right now, as far as the human race, the race for me is to agree that we are one human race. And let us race to that realization.
Right. You know? I'll take a couple of steps ahead. I won't cheat, though.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit about sport. And one of the things that we forget about sport is that it's truly a human endeavor. Only humans take part in sport. I've never seen and animals set up hurdles and race across the hurdles to see who gets to the finish line first. I've seen ants crawl onto a twig to get across a puddle of water. I've never seen them line up those twigs and race across the puddle of water. It's something innately human to take part in sport, and that's why I think everyone should have access to sport. And it for women, in particular for girls, to have a chance to be on a team and learn to work with one another for a common goal, and understanding that sometimes you succeed, sometimes you don't. There's another season next year. You can have your very best friend with you or not, but you have a common goal when you're with your group, your team. And those lessons are so important to live in our at our time, for sure.
Such a wonderful and correct point, because there are certain things that could and should transcend these insane differences that clearly the bad guys on this planet want us to be separated, want us to fight each other, because then they're accomplishing their goal by setting us against each other. Then, you know, then they don't have to fight us because we're fighting each other, which is, you know, a brilliant, nefarious plan on their part. But when you talk about, now, I have a family that has a lot of athletic accomplishments, especially on the Gilbertson side, the Francis side too, but mostly the Gilbertson side. They, of course, in the North Woods, there's snow. So their accomplishments were skiing. And, you know, we were raised on Lake Superior, but we didn't, you know, my grandfather had a deep sea fishing resort, but there, you know, we didn't have competition on the water. But I put my energy into the entertainment industry. So also there on the entertainment side, when people pull together, work together, and a common goal as a group puts us in a much more cohesive, compatible, let's get this job done together and not get what would separate us, but what can it be? What can we achieve as this designated group to achieve a common goal? And that's, I think, what you're saying. And you know, sports. You know, I mean, so many. I mean, our football players often, you know, feel that those in every category, professional. I was actually married to a pro football player, God rest his soul, years ago. And but I also have a friend, John Bradshaw, who taught the football team here locally in Sedona, Arizona. And men feel that that is a critical part for a young man to experience that team sense of things so that they can grow to be, you know, responsible, good working citizens to contribute to the community.
Well, there are ways to do it without losing your brains, too, though. About football is a dangerous sport.
But I completely agree. In fact, that's what happened to my former husband. He had a head injury, and that caused him to have to stop playing. Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and ended up dying of brain cancer. So I can certainly attest to that.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, when I was in high school, there were no sports, nothing for girls. And instead, music was my team. I was on the band and orchestra and choir and madrigals. And I understood that. But I also understood there was something funky, because why couldn't I take part in sports? It wasn't until I got to college that I had a chance to take part in sports. I said, okay, this is the way life ought to be, because we're all human. We're all absolutely equally human, and we must be respected as such. And in the world of sport, we respect one another. Back to the Olympic Village.
Yes.
Again, the athletes have come from, you know, places that
all over the world.
Expect having and sitting to together at a table, sharing a meal and becoming friends, leaving there and keeping contact over time and space. I mean, it's just
Oh.
sports, at least at that level, is a magnificent thing.
So you had an innate sense that your body was an athlete's body, because when you just disclosed that you didn't get involved in sports until you were in college. Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm tall. Well, I'm a little less tall because gravity does have its way over time. And
Yes.
that's one of the classifications for rowers. And so the way I got involved was I was walking across Connecticut College's campus one day and I saw a strange thing. Went over to inquire what it was, and the tall man there said, "It's rowing and you'd be perfect for it." I thought,
Oh
well,
my gosh.
I've never been perfect for anything, so maybe I should try this out. So I did. And I loved it. I love being on the water. You don't talk when you're in the boat, and you put the water right back where you got it every stroke. So we are
Wow, what a great way to say
environmentalists.
it.
Yes.
Wow.
And the
Wow.
ultimate team sport, because you can't take a break when you're racing. Nobody can say, "Oh, I need some water." You are together from beginning to end, and I loved it. I loved it.
Right. Well, there's a certain extraordinary human experience to feel as if you are one. And when you're all rowing together, and all of us can remember those pictures of people pulling those rows together like they're one person. I some years ago belonged to a group of singers where, again, it was called the, I don't know, it was where, we all sang kind of a cappella with together, and it was so there was no sense of being an individual. We wanted to blend our voices in such a way that there was like an additional sound, an additional vibration that only existed when the group sang together in that unified way. And so it's almost as if there is, when any of us can group together in any common effort, there is an they become like a single force, a single energy, a single, almost a single entity that blends together to create I don't know how to explain it. Help me out here.
Oh yeah, well, it is so specific and special, and people recognize it as excellence. That's what it is. It's excellence, and in singing, there are chords that ring, even though you're not singing them because the chorus.
Yeah, that's what
And
they call it.
and it's a beautiful thing. I've seen that. I've experienced it, and it's just it is hard to explain, but I understand which of what you speak. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
And then, of
and
course,
rowing,
Gary.
we call it swing. When the boat has swing and it kind of
Oh.
lifts itself out of the water and you hear the bubbles underneath. I mean, but you got to be going very fast to do that.
Wow,
Yeah.
what an experience. Almost like what do you call that? When a body raises up off of the gravity, it's like,
I forget what it
it's
is.
yeah, it's oh gosh, it defies gravity in its own way. And when we can create a condition, a situation where the extraordinary occurs. Oh, isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it is. And that's what happens at the Olympic Games and in lead sport and in children's sports too, to a different extent. You know, a kid finally gets it, understands what the rules of the games are. And it's a beautiful moment.
It's true. Gary talks often about getting in the zone when he's running, and he tries to explain that to people, where at a certain point when there should be total exhaustion, instead he's in that zone and he almost doesn't feel his body. He just keeps going, and that's one of the ways that he wins.
And there are lots. My first in the zone was actually on the basketball court where I later learned how to describe it, where I took a blind outlet path, meaning I was looking one way. I got the took down the rebound rather, and then just passed it without looking, and it got exactly to my teammate, who then made a basket at the other end. But I didn't think about it. I didn't think that's what I'm doing. I didn't think, where is she? I just knew that that would work. And that's a moment of excellence that's been with me since that time.
Yes, and those are moments that we never forget, because we know that in that moment there was a certain otherworldly opportunity that we stepped into that verified something above and beyond our normal experiences of what it means to be human. Yeah. And to, you know, whenever we can create the ground, you know, the atmosphere for those kinds of possibilities to occur, mm-hmm. to create the opportunity for magic.
Yes.
That's, and wouldn't that be a wonderful objective for mm-hmm. all of us?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, how involved are you now, right now, with the Olympic Committee and what's going on?
Well, at two levels, the international level, very involved, and the domestic level with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, where we're working hard to support our athletes and get other people to support our athletes. And as they prepare for Paris, which will be the next Olympic Games. And then the next Winter Games will be in Cortina, Milano. So there we go. And then for 2028, the Games will be back home in LA. So we'll
look
forward to that. Yes.
Well, one would hope that California is in a little better shape than it is.
We will. We will. We're going to come through. It's a great state. It's a whole country. And we'll come through. We'll figure out the home, the unhoused. We have to. We have to figure that.
I lived in Los Angeles for many years, being involved in the entertainment industry. I was very, you know, I had my own television show, talk show for over 10 years there. And was very involved with independent filmmakers that produced Terminator and Last Emperor and Hoosiers and Salvador and all those. But, you know, when I lived there in Santa Monica and Marina Del Rey in Venice, it was a very different situation. I mean, it's heartbreaking now for me to see what's happened to those neighborhoods. But so you have quite a task and your hands to move towards 2028. And it'll, you know, probably come a lot faster than you expect.
Oh, no doubt. A wink of the eye.
Yeah. So your message is always, we are all one race. And what a wonderful message to bring as a dominant concept with everything that you do. And are you able to keep that present in your dealings with the Olympic community?
Oh, yes, they know what I think. And I'm delighted to say we use the word equality, not equity. Equity is a tool to get to equality so that, you know, we're all equally human. So I kind of made that breakthrough.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Gary Null does a wonderful job presenting ways for us to all be healthier. I'm actually part of his anti-aging study, and I'm often able to attend his healing retreats there. Mm-hmm. And it's always a privilege to be around him personally in any way, shape, or form. Would love to have you come. Not that you maybe need the healing, but it's quite a wonderful experience to spend a week there at his retreats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the takeaway is always so wonderful, and something that you know, I'm sure you would be able to share with anybody around you to make everyone's lives healthier and stronger and live longer.
Yes. And enjoy it. Enjoy.
And be in the kind of physical condition that allows you to enjoy your life, because it certainly isn't any fun if, you know, we are walking around in a body that doesn't work very well. So I'm grateful that I've been in Gary's life for all these years, because, you know, I mean, Gary is just a couple of months away from his 80th birthday. Of course, he doesn't at all look like that age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had to go in for some tests because I had an injury on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And as I was sitting in the lobby, there was a woman who was all kind of crunched over and walking with a cane. And she sat down very carefully in her chair. And then someone came up to her and asked her for her date of birth. And I was like, oh, she was younger than me.
Oh, dear.
And I thought, oh, thank you, God, for that not being me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all about our lifestyle. I mean, I regret that I... you know, Gary is so much in his body, and I, I wish I was, because, you know, I have not been as physical as you and he has been. You know, I was a dancer, actor, singer when I was, you know, when I was young, and, I feel that, you know, I have an athlete's body, but I don't know. I always have this vision that, you know, at 80 years old, I'm going to start lifting weights and be a champion.
It's not over till it's over. You've got the time.
That's right. So what do you think about our current situation as far as how, you know, the politics that will interfere with every aspect of our life? I mean, some of the ridiculous things that they're calling racist. I mean, how can you call diesel fuel racist? I mean, it's like, how do they come up with these things? It's beyond
it's the R word that's confusing everybody. let's be real about this. And the idea that you can divide. It is true that we experience life in the U.S. differently. I've experienced it differently than you have, and that's okay. I mean, we are individuals, we are unique, but we need to understand that people experience it differently and not just assume that your experiences and my experiences are exactly the same. We can talk about them and share them, but they're different. They're different worlds right here in one world.
So true, you know, and my first husband was Blackfoot Indian. Mm-hmm. I was engaged to Sir Charles Cleveland, who was Black, absolutely exquisite man. Mm-hmm. And I just have always embraced all races as my own. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was living in New Orleans and I was singing in that city, and, you know, it was an adventure for sure to live in New Orleans and be part of the music scene. And I was dating a guy who was white, and we were at dinner, and he made some very nasty comments about someone sitting in the next table who was Black. That's and true. I was taken aback by that. And I was so annoyed with his prejudice. I sat there and said, well, I'm Black.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
that
like,
drop that one drop
he just was yeah I told him I was Black, you mm-hmm. know, I got the lips. You know, so I just, and I never told him anything different.
Did he date
and
you again?
He did not. He said to me, why did you have to tell me that? I never told him anything different. And I hoped that somehow that would cause a shockwave in him. And of course, I'll never know, because I have never been in touch with him, but I just felt I had to stand up for what I felt were my principles.
Good for you.
And that was my little way of doing that, you
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think we're at that place in our era where each of us does have to stand for what we feel is right and correct.
Mm-hmm. And be able to accept that someone else's life is different. But when you know your compass is direct, stay with it.
Yeah, that moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely causes us to take pause sometimes when you see something that's so opposing to your own personal logic and your own personal standards of what you believe life should be.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. I mean, I'm Italian. I've got a fighting Italian mama inside of me that you'd best not aggravate.
Okay. We'll keep it calm. Keep it calm.
Oh, but, you know, I mean, these are times that force us, I think, to go into the deepest parts of our spiritual aspects to self-discovery and self-reorientation mm-hmm. that requires much from us right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know, I mean, I have studied so many different religions in my searching. I lived in India, I lived in the Caribbean. I mean, I've been voracious in my own personal search to understand what is it to be human? What is God? And to try my best to still embrace people who don't believe in God at all. And what I discovered in all of my, I mean, I've been born again Christian three times and I've done Namyo Rengekyo and I've lived in India. I mean, I've really been voracious in all of this and what, and being raised Catholic, the Italian that I am. And, you know, and what I came to the, again, I use logic. That's where I reside primarily in my own.
I can tell you're a critical thinker. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. As of course, Gary Null is. And what I thought, you know, every single religion that I've studied, they all say that one common thing, if you mm-hmm. don't believe in what they have here, you'll burn in hell.
Oh yeah. Well,
this has to be the, and I thought, you know, Deepak Chopra said it best when 9/11 happened. There is the generic God. And it doesn't matter what you choose as your way to praise or honor God or not honor God at all. We are all the human race, and our connection to the divine or to the higher power evidences itself. I have done my best to go into the science of the quantum field to understand how that works. And so my measuring stick is looking at the synchronicity that I experience in my life.
And in Sedona, in Sedona, with all those PowerPoints around you, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Must be amazing.
It is amazing. It is. And what I notice is I say that the universe speaks to us all the time if we pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm driving behind a vehicle in front of me and the license plate will be telling me a message.
Hmm.
I'll be thinking about something. I'll look up and there's a bulletin or a billboard that says something, and it's pertinent to what I'm thinking about. So how does that happen if not by some divine force?
A connection that you have.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so how do you go about this dominant focus that you have with sports? And how do you go about delivering your message as best you can?
As best I can. Well, for 30 years and 28 of them as president, I worked at the LA 84 Foundation, which is the legacy of the 1984 games. It received 40% of the surplus. And I'm proud to say during my administration, we spent $250 million. The original endowment was $93 million. We spent $250 million. And the endowment when I left was $160 million. We reached over 1,000 kids. We taught half a million how to swim, because if you can swim, you can row. So it's very important to learn how to swim. And wonderful. We had conferences to examine the important aspects. It was a magical place for me, for sure.
What an amazing legacy you have.
And the foundation's going strong still without me, which is, you know, people say, wow, you're the first. Isn't it great to be the first? And I say, yeah, it's great to be the first. It's more important not to be the last. And I was happy to pass it on to another African-American woman to shepherd it forward.
How wonderful. Well, you know, to inspire everyone in some small or large way, even if someone volunteers at, you know, the animal shelter or something, so that we can inspire people to make a contribution with the life they live.
Yeah. There's so many good works that go on that we'll never know about. I mean, yeah, just, I just said what I have to say. So many good works, and people thank one another, I hope, or don't, but the good works continue. And we have to have that as the basis of life.
Yes. You know, and of course, Gary is such a champion. It's like too many elderly people, I think, just feel like, you know, my cousin Henry always says, well, Kathy, you know, you know, you're too old. You should be retiring. And I'm laughing. I'm going, retiring? I'm just refiring.
There you go.
So, I mean, I'm working harder and doing more work now than I did in my 20s. That's and I've always been very active. But, you know, to inspire older people to be engaged, to do something. Don't sit there and plan your next doctor's visit.
You use that wonderful knowledge you've gained over the years and experiences to help others.
Yes, which is the primary purpose of this show, Wise Women. You know, that's what, you know, Gary created this for me to host. Yeah. And gave me these wonderful people like yourself to invite as guests, you know?
Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and it makes me think of a lot of things that people can do and to do to support one another, and to just check in on them, you know, every once in a while. Make sure I just, you know, smile at people. You know, I know with mask on, it's hard to tell.
Oh, I know.
Eyes show it. Your eyes show whether you're smiling or not.
Well, are you living currently in Los Angeles in California?
Actually, I'm not. I my home is in Santa Monica. That's where I live. But I'm living with my brother right now because I'm happy to say I'm cancer-free. But I'm recovering from gastric cancer. And so my brother and sister-in-law are helping me recover. in Fontana, the
Oh.
city of Fontana, not Montana, Fontana, California, right next to Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with that.
There you
Well,
go.
I'm so happy to know that you're fully recovered. And of course, Gary's protocols, it would be good for you to review his wonderful protocols. I have seen him, people, with end stage cancer, and I've seen him, cause them to recover, fully recover. And it's, it's the protocols, of course, a vegan diet. There are many wonderful ways to keep your body strong. And I have no doubt that your physical activities from when you were young, definitely, it's all about your immune system. It's all about, keeping your body strong in every way and giving it the things that it needs in order for it to heal, because the body innately wants to heal.
Indeed, it wants to be whole. It wants
Correct.
To fix the parts that are broken all the time. It's constantly doing it.
In fact, the whole body of the human race, I believe that is true.
How about that? Yes, that's a good way to put it. And we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
It is. And most certainly people like you, we need to stay here and fight the good fight, so to speak.
I like to say I don't fight, I convince.
Oh, that's wonderful. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I left for a minute about a year ago with pneumonia.
Oh.
And I often mention that on my shows that I was perfectly happy to leave, but many people, when they're going to the light or whatever, their experience is, they say, oh, I'm not ready yet, I'm not ready yet. I was like, oh, cool. And then I heard, Kathleen, get your ass back down there. You're needed. That's they're
Time
so irreverent when I hear
work to be done. Yeah, you got
exactly.
Gotta finish your work.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So, I think that the biggest battle we have is our own internal consciousness, and managing it in its most effective way, so that we can be strong. Can be resilient, we can overcome any of the obstacles that might interfere with our being as effective as we can possibly be.
Exactly. And we're supposed to be efficient, and we're supposed to do these things.
Yes. So in the last few minutes that we have with our podcast, give us what you would share as the wisdom that you would want to impart to our audience, because that's always what Gary asks of this show.
All right. Remember to ask for help. We just don't do that in our country. We don't ask for help. We just go ahead based on what we think we know is right. But ask for help. Get some new ideas. Use critical thought. But ask for help. The reason there's more than one person on this planet is we're supposed to work together. So do that by asking for help.
That's wonderful input. Oh my goodness. Now, do you have a contact is there something where people could contribute in some way toward your efforts?
Well, that's a good question. I have a company called Tubman Truth for Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, and working to end modern day slavery. There are other organizations like CAS, which is the Coalition Against Slavery and Trafficking in Los Angeles, which does a wonderful job. Any support for them would be superior. That would be great.
So could you make that really clear how those could be reached by our audience?
Okay. Well, past, I don't have, unfortunately, the email address, but it's probably www.cast.org, Coalition Against Slavery and Trafficking. There are 42 million people enslaved this very moment throughout the world. And that this
It's
is
horrible. It's
21st
horrible.
century. Yeah,
I
should
know.
be over.
Worse than ever.
Yeah, should be over. And that's one of my other goals, to end slavery, because it's just
Yes,
wrong.
ma'am.
And we know it's wrong. And it was allowed because of the word RACE.
Yes, I
And
actually
making that
have.
division.
Yep. In my tiny little town of Rimrock, there is a
Yeah.
small group of people that hold events about stopping trafficking. God
Oh,
bless them that they
good
stand
traffic.
up. Yeah,
And it's
Eileen
right in
Kahn and her
front
group.
of us. The sad
Yes,
thing is
ma'am.
right in front of us, and we can't
Scary.
allow it to continue.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And then what was the other organization you suggested?
Polaris. It's out of Washington, D.C. Polaris. And they also do a great deal of work in the area of anti-slavery. And they're reaching out outside of the US as well, because I actually saw on CNN a oh God, this is so hard to say. They were actually auctioning off humans on CNN. Yeah.
Oh,
So it's still happening. And
yeah,
that happened,
I
everyone
know.
there was complicit in it. And
Yes.
except maybe the journalists who managed to get a camera to see it happening. So yeah, there's a lot of work that has to be done. I'm sorry to end on such
Oh no, but it's
a
something that we have to call people to arms because I know that on I think it was Wayfair was one of the websites where they had certain things to purchase for thousands of dollars and it was buying children.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It
That's
is.
awful. Awful, awful. Yeah.
And
I'm
I
glad
mean,
they
and the
were found
numbers
out.
are staggering.
Yes, indeed, they are. And it's up to us to make it stop.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so, like I said, for us in this little tiny town of Rimrock, Arizona, where I live, it's outside of Sedona, about a half hour. But here is this, small group of people that have events about once a month, and they have the sign out there all the time, help stop trafficking, and every little bit matters.
Oh yeah. Well, they're doing yeoman's tasks, and because you just don't know where it is. And I carry what did I do with it? The phone number, the magic number for here. If you call that number, the sheriff's department will come and pick you up and take you someplace safe. You just have to call that
Wow.
number. Yep. And there is a division of the sheriffs, the LA County sheriffs, that are trained in doing this. So it's a good thing. But that's
Wow.
just in my area.
Well, then, if there's such a phone number in your area, surely there must be such
Oh yeah, there's a
numbers.
national one. There's a national number which I should have with me, but I do not because my phone is in the other room. how that becomes the address book for everything. But there is a national number. So it could be looked up, I'm sure, as the anti-trafficking number. And we
That's
just got to
wonderful.
get these girls and boys out of this system.
Well, I do thank you for that. And I so very much thank you for taking the time to be a guest on Wise Women. And I urge you and everyone, of course, to listen to Gary's wonderful input every day on how to be healthy, happy, and well informed. His podcast. Podcast, now that Arizona doesn't change during it's the only state that doesn't change daylight saving time and it absolutely confuses me. I mean it's
Oh,
like
yes.
I'm just not good. math, I guess, or something. But his show is on at noon Eastern Standard
Oh,
Time every
it
day, and so worth listening to get his wonderful input and support. And Gary, as you probably know, has for free treated thousands and thousands of people over his lifetime. He's been doing it since his early 20s. He
Wow.
does not charge, to treat people for their different maladies. He does request that you stick to the protocol that he gives you so that the results that he knows are possible can be seen as effective. So with that, again, I do thank you so very much, Anita DeFrans, for being a guest on Wise Women. Your input was wonderful and certainly inspiring. You have lived a fabulous, inspiring life, and we expect you to live a very much longer time to continue the work and your wonderful contribution in the ways that you do with such grace and humility and effectiveness.
No, thank
So,
you very much. I really appreciate that, and have a wonderful day.
thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you, all of you that are listening to our Wise Women podcast. I hope that once again you have taken something with you to make your life more effective, and that you've gained some wisdom from the guests that we have on our show. And with that said, it's Kathleen Francis signing off. You have a wonderful, productive, inspiring day. And take good care. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.